Privilege to speak to you once again, and so I'm very, very honored to be able to do this. So, if you will, please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. We'll bounce around a little bit today, but it'll be mainly in the book of Acts. So, turn to the book of Acts, and let's first look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Typically on a Wednesday night, I am out with the teenagers, helping Pastor Phillips corral the teenagers, and filling in for him from time to time. So, that's where I am on Wednesday nights usually. And I was kind of giving Pastor Morris a tough time because you are the ones that chose not to take his class. And I kind of teased him about that, and he said, yeah, but they didn't choose you over me. They chose Pastor Monty over me. So he kind of burst my bubble there. So that's the truth. So, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and let's read verse 4, and then we'll just kind of bounce around. Follow me, and I want to preach tonight about a subject that I think that is I think it'll help our church. I think it'll help us get the job done for the cause of Jesus Christ in Hendricks County. I think there's a great need for the gospel to be spread in Hendricks County. And I want to look at the church in Acts and how they went about winning their Jerusalem, their area, their country, and the world to Jesus Christ, and how they spread the gospel. And hey, if it worked in the Bible, I think that we need to be looking to the Bible to do the same thing today. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Jesus had resurrected from the grave, and he was to be taken away. He was to ascend to heaven, and he had some commands. He had some things for the church to do. There was 120 people gathered here, and he gave them some commandments. He gave them some things to do. And he commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait on the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Turn to verse 14, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. Acts 2, 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. Then jump over, if you would, please, to chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is. And then turn over, please, to verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one accord. Neither said they, any of them, that aught of the things which he possessed that was his own, but that they had all things common. Chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And then lastly, we'll read chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to talk about the subject of one accord. Of one accord. We look at the New Testament church. We look at the first church here. And we see how they carried out the Great Commission. Obviously they did it in the power of God. But they also did it, as we see over and over and over mentioned, they did it together. They did it in one accord. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to talk about this subject here, which I think that will help us as we attempt to impact our community, as we attempt to impact Hendricks County, the surrounding area. And not just impact, but I think that we ought to set our goals on what the disciples did at the time and what the early church did at the time, and really turn Hendricks County, as they turned Jerusalem, upside down. They did it with 120 and the power of God. Can we do it with 500, 600 with the power of God? That same power of the same God, I think we can. So I will pray. I'll ask for the Lord's blessing on the service tonight. And then I'll preach on one accord. Lord God, we love you so much. I pray that you'd meet with us here today, Lord. Help us as we attempt to do your will. Bless these people here gathered tonight. They're the faithful ones. They're the Wednesday night crowd, Lord. We love you. And I pray that you'd meet with us here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had instructed this group of 120 believers to stay in Jerusalem, stay put, and wait on the power of God to come. And that power of God was in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he told them to wait. Stay together. Don't go anywhere. You wait right here in Jerusalem. And you wait for the power of God. And they did that. And this would give them the power, by the way, if you look over in back over in Acts chapter 1, if you look at verse 8, here's the commission. And this is the same commission given to us, except it would be obviously specific to our area. The Bible says, "But when ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That was a commission. That was the command that they were to fulfill. And Jesus said, "I want you to fulfill this command, but I want you to wait. I want you to be in one accord. I want you to be together in one place. And I want you to wait on what? On the power of God." Obviously, if we expect to do things great for God, if we expect to do things in Avon and Danville and Plainfield, in Pittsburgh, in Jamestown, we expect to do great things for God in Danville. If we expect to do great things for God to the glory of Jesus Christ in Hendricks County, we know that it's going to have to be done in the power of God. We can't do it ourselves, Brother Ken. We can't do it ourselves. It has to be in the power of God. If we go out from this church and we attempt to make a difference in the community, but we do it on our own power, we're going to fail greatly. We're not going to see the power of God come when we feel that we can do it our own way. I believe there's something I think there's something missing in many churches. Number one, it's the power of God, and then number two, I believe that there's a lot of people trying to go their own way, trying to do their own thing, and so I think that takes away from the potential that we have as a local New Testament church to win the lost. So let's look at a few things here. I want to throw some figures out at you. Just like Jerusalem was at that time, I believe that our area is at this time. We look in the Bible here. We see when they received power, the cloven tongues came upon their heads, and they began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in known languages to people that were in the area. It was a very multicultural area. Many languages were spoken. As we see in chapter 2, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. It was a multicultural area, just like we live in today. We live in a multicultural area, and just like that today. They were also a very religious area. They were also very religious. Of course, we know the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but there were all of these other cultures brought with them their religions. We see that today here in the United States. A lot of similarities there. They were also a very hardened people. You think of what they did to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the opportunities that they had to receive Christ, the opportunities that they had to believe on Him, and they rejected Him. They were a very hardened people. Don't we see that today? We're very religious, but there's no revival. We're very, very religious, but there's no revival. Our churches are dead. People outside of the church, very religious. There is more on television in the way of religion. There's more information to be had. There's more Christian bookstores. There's more resources to be purchased now more than ever. But there's less of the power of God. There's less of true revival. There's less of genuine Christianity than there has ever been in our country. And we have the opportunity to understand how to do that. We have the opportunity to win our area for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it's not going to come through religion. It's not going to come through materials. It's not going to come by anything other than the power of God and doing it God's way. So our mission field is much like Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. A few statistics here that I researched and found here. Very interesting here. The state of I won't say the church, but the state of so-called Christianity in the United States. A few facts here. I won't bore you with a lot of them. But 1,400 pastors in America leave the ministry monthly. Only 15% of churches in the United States are growing, and just 2.2% of those are growing by conversion growth. That's people being saved. That's new converts. By the way, that's New Testament growth. Now, we came to this church by transfer, okay? And that's fine. But New Testament growth in the local church is soul winning, and it's evangelism, and it's winning the lost of Jesus Christ, and they come in, and they're baptized, and they are added to the church. That's New Testament Christianity. We see that in Acts as well, when 3,000 were saved, and 5,000 were saved shortly thereafter. That's the preferred method of church growth. Very little growth in American Christianity. 10,000 churches in America disappeared over a five-year period. The number of people in America that do not attend church has doubled in the past 15 years. You see, we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. We claim to have faith, and we claim to have a religious affiliation, but when it comes down to it, there's not much. There's less now than there was 15 years ago. Only 65% of Americans donate to a place of worship. Of evangelicals, however, 85% donate to their church, yet only 9% tithe. Hey, you want to know why we're not reaching the world? There's a reason right there. God has given us the command that 10% of the money that He has allowed us to earn, 9% of us tithe. Why can't the missionaries stay on the foreign field? Why can't we send out more missionaries? Why can't our churches evangelize more with materials? Why can't our churches buy more buses? Why can't our churches gas the buses? I'll just stay on that bus thing for a while. Why can't our churches... Hey, our hands are tied so much because we rob God of the money that's His. 9%. Boy, that's pitiful, isn't it? 20 to 25% read their Bible consistently. 59% attend church weekly. 16% listen to Christian radio. 7% watch Christian TV. And 11% are held accountable to someone. Less than 50%, listen to this, less than 50% say that the Bible is totally accurate. Yet 60% of those claim to be born again. Hey, 60% of born again people in this poll done say that the Bible is accurate, totally accurate. That it's perfect inspiration, that it's inspired perfectly. Hey, listen, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. Now, we know that the local church is autonomous, and we know that we can only control what happens in these four walls here. But listen, there's a world out there that's dying and going to hell, and they're hurting, and they need somebody to make a difference. They need somebody to make an impact. They need somebody to figure out how the biblical way is to reach them and how to turn this area upside down for Jesus Christ. So what do I mean by that? What do I mean by impact? What do I mean by to impact the area? Well, what do I mean? Well, number one, I believe we need to win the lost to Christ, baptize them and teach them. Very simply, that's the Great Commission. We're to win them, we're to get them baptized, and then we're to teach them to do the same things. What else do I mean when I mean we need to make an impact on Hendricks County? Well, not only do we need to win the lost to Christ, baptize them and teach them, we need to fight sin. We need to fight sin in our area. We need to promote righteousness. Our church needs to hold a good testimony in our area. We need to make an impact. That's what that is. Why do we need to do that? Well, number one, it's a command. If all of our motivation falls short, and it shouldn't be our primary motivation, our love for Jesus Christ and what He's done for us should be our primary motivation for obeying Him. But when everything falls short, we should look at duty. We should look at it as a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to win the lost. Why? Because it's a command. Why? Because people are going to hell. Why? Because people are hurting. Why? Because not many churches in this area are doing it. Not many churches in this area are making an impact on the community. Why is that? Why is that? Well, I believe one reason is because we're not in one accord. We looked at all of the verses that said how the first church, how the early church, the first century church, how they got things done for God. And the Bible says that there were 3,000 saved, there were 5,000 saved. There were they spoke with boldness. The Bible says over in Acts chapter, Acts chapter 4, after they were praying and and lifted up their voice to God in verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is them. That's a tough one to read. And verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. Hey, why is it that all of these things, all of these acts of God, why is it that the power of God had fallen? Why was it that they had seen many, many saved and the whole area was transformed? Why was that? Well, the Bible shows clearly that it was because of a few things. They were in one accord. I want to tell you three things, from the Bible here, and I won't be very long at all. And three things that they were in one accord on. Number one, they were one accord in doctrine. They were in one accord in doctrine. The Bible says over there in chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Hey, I believe that if we're going to make an impact on Hendricks County, if we're going to make an impact on our area, we are going to have to be in one accord on doctrine. And by the way, when I talk about being in one accord, when I talk about unity, listen, I don't mean unity for unity's sake. I don't mean just let's all hold hands and get along and no matter what we believe, Brother John, we're just going to hold hands and sing Jesus. I don't mean that. I mean that we need to be in one accord in doctrine. We need to be in one accord not for unity's sake, but for doctrine's sake. We need to be hold fast to the doctrines. What doctrines am I talking about? The doctrine of the virgin birth. The doctrine of the virgin birth. There are many many liberal Christian churches out there that will not preach the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, that's a cardinal doctrine. That's a cardinal doctrine. And we have to be in one accord on this thing. The sinless life of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hey, listen, if Jesus Christ ever sinned, then you, my friends, and I are on our way to hell because Jesus Christ wasn't the perfect Lamb that was slain. But He did live a sinless life. His vicarious death. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was broken for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. His vicarious death. His vicarious death. He died for us. As the Ethiopian eunuch later on in the book of Acts was reading the scriptures and he didn't understand this. He didn't understand what this meant. He was reading Isaiah and Philip comes up and he explains what it meant. Hey, listen, the vicarious death, Jesus Christ took your place and my place on the cross. And we have to be in one accord on that doctrine. The blood atonement. The blood atonement. Hey, listen, if Jesus Christ had been hung, if Jesus Christ had been pushed off a cliff, if Jesus Christ had fainted or fallen asleep and just passed out and died, hey, listen, our blood, our sins are not paid for. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Bible says neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood He entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Listen, Jesus Christ had to have been crucified on a cross. Jesus Christ had to have shed His blood and then take His blood and enter into the holy of holies, or enter into the mercy seat and sprinkle His blood. Hey, if that didn't happen, my friends, we are not saved today. We have to be in one accord on this doctrine. By the way, people might think, wow, you independent Baptists, you fundamentalists are hard to get along with. You've broken apart from everybody. No, listen, they left us. This is cardinal doctrine. This is continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the Bible. We didn't leave. We didn't go anywhere. By the way, I'm not a Baptist. I don't believe that all Baptists are going to heaven. There's a lot of Baptists that are on their way to hell. Hey, listen, I believe there are Baptists in our church. I don't mean tonight, if the shoe fits. But hey, listen, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, plus nothing, minus nothing, you are not saved tonight, my friend. But listen, I don't believe that as a Baptist I'm going to heaven. I believe that if you're going to go to heaven, you might as well go first class. Amen. You might as well go as a Baptist. But listen, I don't believe that we left anybody. Some of you gray-haired folks, you probably remember the day when there were brush arbor meetings and there were tent meetings when the Baptists and the Nazarenes and the Methodists and the Presbyterians would all come together for Bible preaching, would all come together for revival. Well, it's not that way anymore. We have to be one accord in doctrine. We have to be one accord in the deity of Christ. Hey, Jesus Christ was God. Just in case you've got any question about that, I want you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Hey, the Mormons, the Muslims, and the Jehovah's Witness, they'll say Jesus Christ did exist. Jesus Christ was a great man. Jesus Christ was a prophet. But if He wasn't God, then we are lost in our sins. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and jump to verse 14, and we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have to be in one accord on this doctrine. We have to be in one accord on this doctrine. If we want to do something great for the cause of Christ, if we want to change the area for the cause of Christ, if we want to give the gospel out and make a difference in this area, we have to be in one accord on these doctrines. The bodily resurrection of Christ. Hey, there are some that teach, and by the way, you may not know this, many of you may, but this is commonplace in evangelical circles, that people will deny some of these doctrines. The blood atonement is denied. The bodily resurrection is denied by some. The imminent return of Christ is denied by some. Hey, be careful who we listen to on the radio. Be careful when we listen to some of these teachers on the radio that are teaching heresy now. Be careful. You got to listen close here. But a lot of these people, I'll just say R.C. Sproul, Hank Hanegraaff, they're preterists. They believe, listen, they believe that Jesus Christ has already come back. They believe that in 70 A.D., the destruction of Rome was the tribulation, and the rapture of the church was then. And hey, they believe in the millennium, right? That we're living in the millennium right now. They believe that the devil is bound in hell right now. It's ridiculous sounding, but that's the truth. We've got to watch this. We've got to be in one accord in our doctrine. Hey, and this is a deal breaker for me here. We need to be in one accord on the doctrine of the verbal, plenary inspiration of God's Word and the preservation, by the way. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's a deal breaker for me. This would never happen here under our preacher. But if our pastor was to come and say, we are going to try, we are going to allow you to use different versions of the Bible, my family would pack up and we would hit the road. That's a deal breaker. That's important. And this battle is going to be harder and harder and harder to fight. And this battle is going to be tougher and tougher and tougher to stay strong with. But we have to. It's God's Word. The Bible says God has put His Word above His own name. It's very important. We have to be in one accord. Salvation by grace through faith. So many people, hey, if you add anything to it or you take anything away from it, it's not salvation by grace through faith. So number one, we need to be in one accord in doctrine. Number two, I believe that we need to be in one accord in devotion. In devotion. If we're going to make an impact on this area, if we're going to make an impact, a great impact, if we're going to make an impact to the point of people would look at Faith Baptist Church and say, Faith Baptist Church is seemingly turning Hendricks County upside down for Jesus Christ. We're going to have to do it in one accord, not only in doctrine, but in devotion. Devotion to God in prayer. Look at Acts 1. Look at Acts 1:14 again. All these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Hey, we need to be praying. We need to be praying. We need to be praying intercessory prayers. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying for our family members. We need to be praying for our church family members. We need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for our president. We need to be praying. We need to be a people of prayer. And we need to be doing it in one accord. In praise, Acts 4:24, and we've already read these, but we'll read it once again, Acts 4:24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath, here's this hard verse again, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Every jot and every tittle, I have to read it right. Amen? But listen, we have got to be in one accord in devotion to God. We have got to be in devotion to God in prayer, in praise, in personal holiness, I believe. I believe that we need to take a step back from society and we need to look back to the old timers and we need to look back to the old paths and say, what were they doing that was bringing revival to our country? What were they doing that allowed them, that God would work through them to make a difference in their area? I believe it's in prayer. I believe it's in praise. I believe, that it's in personal holiness. Hey, we've lost this as a church. We've lost this as Baptists. We're scared to death that someone's going to call us charismatic. We're scared to death we're scared to death that we're going to stand out from the crowd. We're scared to death of it. We're scared to death that we're going to look like church people. Hey, listen, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness. God expects that out of us. God expects that. Holiness. Now try saying holiness and wine coolers and back. Holiness, wine coolers, no. Holiness, beer, no. Holiness, cigarettes, no. Holiness, we've got to watch. Hey, listen, holiness and brother, I don't even know why this came to my mind, but holiness and Christians going to Las Vegas. I guess I saw a commercial on television, but for crying out loud, what would a Christian be doing in Las Vegas? Amen? Should a Christian, is there anything out there in Las Vegas for you to take the time and the money that God has given you and to go out and gamble it in that city of sin? To each other, I believe we need to be in devotion to each other, in service, in selfishness. We see that in chapter 4 as well, where they would see a person that was in need. They would see another brother or sister that needed something, and they would give freely of it. They would pray for them, they would give, and they would take care of each other. We need to have devotion not only to God, not only to each other, but to the community. Look at Acts 4:21 there. Acts 4:21. We read it a minute ago. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And by the way, 3,000 were saved, and then 5,000 were saved. Hey, 8,000 were saved in a short period of time. And listen, I don't picture it as Peter up there preaching and 3,000 people walked the aisle and got saved. I believe that Peter was preaching, and I believe that there was 119 other people out walking through the community, knocking on doors, in the temple, telling people, hey, listen, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they were telling them in their own language. And I believe that they were going place to place, house to house, village to village, marketplaces everywhere, soul winning. 3,000 were saved. 5,000 were saved, and it wasn't because of an evangelistic service. Soul winning. Where do we get soul winning from? Where do we get that we need to not be just evangelistic in our preaching and teaching? Where do we get, as Independent Fundamental Baptists, that we should go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in? That we should go out from house to house, daily in the temple, teaching and preaching the Word? We get it right there. Because that's how the first church did it. Hey, listen. That's how we're going to show our devotion to the community. We also need to have a good testimony. The Bible says there in Acts as well that they had favor with the people. That they had favor with the people. People looked at them. Now, they knew they were Christians. They knew they were peculiar. If you look at Acts 4 on your same page there, if you've got a Schofield, Acts 4:13. And it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, look at the top there, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They were peculiar. Hey, listen, they knew that they had been with Jesus. They knew that they were Christians. I think that it's a good testimony to our community when people think that we're a little bit peculiar. Now, I'm not talking about being weird and goofy for the sake of it, okay? I'm just saying when we swim upstream in a culture that's swimming downstream in the dregs and in the garbage of the world, there's a difference about us. And people see that. We're peculiar. I believe it's a good testimony to the community. So not only do we need to be in one accord in doctrine, and not only do we need to be in one accord in devotion, but if we're going to greatly impact this area, if we're going to turn this area upside down for the cause of Christ, not just for this generation, but for our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids, I mean for generations, if we're going to make an impact on Hendricks County for generations, we're going to have to be in one accord in direction. One accord in our direction. Look at Acts 2:42, and I'm just about finished. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You notice there that they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Now, this was early on, mind you, but they didn't say, hey, you know what? I've got a better idea. Hey, there's a new fad that Brother So-and-so in Houston, Texas has got. And he's written a really cool self-help book. And he says that it doesn't matter how I live. And he says that if I just feel good about myself, that God will be happy with me. No, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread. 542 says, and daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They just kept on with the old thing, the old path. They just kept on with the old teaching. They just kept on with the same old, all the time. They didn't need a new purpose in life. They didn't need to get a book to tell them what their purpose was. They didn't need to buy all the materials that are available in the Christian bookstores. By the way, Baptist, let me tell you, be careful what you buy in a Christian bookstore. It's all intermingled. If we're going to be in accord in doctrine, watch what we buy. Watch what we buy in those bookstores. Better to maybe get online at a few choice outlets online to find material that's biblically right. But they just continued in the same old stuff. They just continued in the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. They just continued in loving each other, hating sin but loving the world. They just continued in their soul winning. They just continued in their fellowship with one another. They just continued going to the temple over and over and over, meeting together over and over and over. And hey, listen, as the world gets worse and worse and worse, I believe that instead of slacking off and instead of dropping away, instead of letting up, that we need to ratchet it up and we need to be more aggressive. And that we need to fight harder and be more devoted. As the world is getting worse, I think we need to get a little bit more serious about it. So they continue in the old past. Hey, listen, we're not going to win this area by following fads. We're not going to win this area by self-help books. We're not going to win this area by taking everything, the newest thing that comes along the block to appeal to the flesh. We're not going to win this area by reading a book that tells us about what our purpose is. Hey, the Bible gives me my purpose. The Bible gives me my purpose. That's all the purpose that I need. If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, Jesus gave them their marching orders. And Jesus gave them the power to do it. They were to win their area. They were to make an impact. They were to make a great impact. They were to turn the area upside down for the cause of the gospel. And it was only by the power of God that they did it. And it was only also because they were in one accord with each other. They didn't have their own people with their own schisms, because that weakens the church. People that have their own ideas. People that don't agree with cardinal doctrine. People that don't agree with the direction. People that don't agree with, hey, you guys are just too devoted to the church. You need to slow down. Hey, you've got family. You need to slow down. You're getting too old. You need to slow down. You're too young. You need to slow down. That's not how they want them. We have to be the same way. We've got to do it in one accord, in doctrine, in devotion, in direction, I believe. Hey, listen, if God gave them the commission to win their area to the cause of Jesus Christ, He's given it to us. He's given us the power available to do it. And I believe that the early church has given us examples on how to get the job done for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. We'll have an invitation. Lord God, we love You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the clear teaching of Your Word. Thank You for the way that you show us, Lord. You say, come let us reason together, Lord. You show us plainly in Your Word how to carry out the command that You gave us, Lord. You wouldn't leave us comfortless, and You wouldn't leave us without the power and the methods to carry out Your commands. And we love You tonight, Lord. I love these people here at my church. And we thank You for the testimony of our church in the area. We thank You so much for the people here tonight. They're the rock-solid people, God. They're the faithful people. I pray that You'd richly bless them. Lord, help us win this area for You. In Jesus' name, amen.